There's all kinds. It's like he calls it diverse temptations. There's, you could be tempted, towards a sinful thing. And all kinds of temptations work patience. They work other things too. It's not the only thing that the trying of your faith works, but it does work that. And the perfect work of patience would be that we could be made perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Why? As the Apostle Paul said, the Apostle Paul wrote many things in his epistles, which for some men are very hard to understand. In the book of Colossians chapter 1, Paul had written of the preaching of Christ. He said, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. There's a lot of work going on there. Paul had many things he wanted us to be mindful of, that we should, as he says, mortify our members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection. All those things that for the sake of which the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. In the which time ye also walked, past tense, sometime when ye lived in them. But now you've put off all these. And he goes through another list of things that we've put off. And Paul says also that we should walk in patience. God wants us to be complete. He wants us to be entire. He doesn't want us to lack anything. That is the good news. Do you hear me? That is good news. That Christ died. In Galatians chapter 1, as Paul says, he died to deliver us from this present evil world. As he also says in the book of Titus, that we might live godly, righteously, and soberly in this present world. All the things which Christ died for was to remove sin from our life, not merely as a theoretical or esoteric sort of unreal yet metaphysical sort of improvement. No, but he actually intends that in our bodies we should replicate Christ in our lives. Not only does he turn our past sins away from judgment, but he also brings us and raises us in newness of life. All the apostles taught this. Perfection is the whole point of Christianity. Because the idea of Christian is a little Christ. And as Paul says, we have to grow up in him. Or actually, literally, at one point he had said, we have to grow up into him. We are not children anymore, but growing up into a full-grown man, the man Christ Jesus. And so the trying of faith, the testing, the things that come at us from different angles to probe and to find out where weaknesses are, where things are not right, that works patience. I think the original verse I was looking for was, if we hope for something, we wait for it with patience. And see, God holds out these promises to us, those who are the called according to his chosen, because no one else can receive these things. No one else can receive these things of God, the things which come of the grace of God. You can't receive the perfection, the righteousness, the holiness, the godliness, unless you are called of him, chosen of him, that he foreknew you before you were even born. See, these promises that come, says you can have this, you can have that, you can be this, you can be that. That comes, the promise comes. And now we believe it. And so then because of faith, faith is the substance of things that you're hoping for, which means that you're expecting. Meaning, I placed an order in the mail for some widgets, and I hope they're coming. Which means not just, in English we use the word hope. I hope they're coming. Because why? You say that because you doubt the person who's sending them. But in the Christian gospel, the idea of hope is a more sure thing. It means because God is the one who is giving. We have this full expectation. We have a sure hope that he is going to deliver the widget. And the widget is whatever his promise is. It is righteousness, godliness, temperance, patience, all these things God is going to deliver, but he's holding out there like a carrot almost. We are hoping for it. We are having faith that it's going to come. And patience, The full work of patience is that we wait. But what is the completion of patience? Patience doesn't wait forever. I'm just going to keep waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And I'm never going to stop waiting. That's not patience. Because I see God is patient. But still, there, if you look in the Bible, there's an end of the book. And things are going to change. So God is patient right now with the wicked, but he's not going to be patient with them forever. The perfect work of patience is the arrival of the promised thing. When the promised thing arrives, when that which is hoped for comes, then patience is fulfilled. That is the perfect work of patience. And you know what? When that reward of that thing finally coming and patience pays off, it increases your patience. Meaning, once you've waited for something and then seen that hope fulfilled, you have now in you a greater patience. Because you see, I waited patiently and God delivered. That means all the other things he has promised, which I believe he's going to do, if I wait patiently for those things, they will also be delivered to me. Do you understand what I'm saying? That the things which God has promised, we wait. And that waiting, when it's fulfilled, that gives us this conditioning, this feeling that, like, if I wait for it, I will get it. Because God's promises are sure. I trust that he will deliver on that which he has promised. That is the perfect work of patience. And when, as that builds up in you, you know, you get fulfilled and more fulfilled and more fulfilled. You want nothing. And I mean the things. I don't mean you're going to get a car, you're going to hope for more money and blah, 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 and all that nonsense you don't need. Because you don't, those things aren't needful. I'm talking about profiting in godliness. I'm talking about profiting in things that will actually cause you to inherit eternal life. That's the things that we need to profit in. The promises of God pertaining to salvation, pertaining to our election, pertaining to being the same as Christ on this, in this earth. And what makes that possible? Is it because I create enough faith within me? Is it because of sheer luck? No, it is because of the blood of Christ. See, the blood of Christ is the power. Why is blood so powerful? It's because God said so. See, his word is the power, and his word says that blood removes sin, then that blood removes sin. I mean, you know, that's the word of God. Everything in the world is created by the word of God. And what the word of God says, something does, or, you know, like the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He said, don't eat it, for you it will cause you to die. It was obviously not, like, poisonous, because they would have fallen over dead.